Please be seated. In this time in which we live, there are so many clamoring for our attention. Social media, in fact, is predicated on drawing us in and holding our attention. And the longer we engage, the more we see. And the more we see, the more advertising we see. And so there's also big money at stake in this. And I want to be clear, I'm not decrying social media. It has its place, it has its giftedness. But it also has that ability to suck us in. In fact, our online virtual life has changed us. I've seen multiple articles about this, how our attention spans grow shorter, how our impatience can rise. These are the kinds of changes that have implication for daily living and also for our spiritual lives, those of us who follow Jesus. Discipleship is in many ways about the focus of our attention. It's about what we value. It's about whom we listen to. To follow Jesus requires intentional, disciplined actions. To follow Jesus means resisting the attention-seeking distractions of our society that come with many empty promises. In today's gospel, we see how Jesus is intentional and makes choices. We hear he's being sought by the crowds. This follows, or is a continuation of what we heard last Sunday, where Jesus was in the synagogue and people marveled. He's offering a new teaching with power and authority. The people were also amazed when he cast out an unclean spirit. This act reveals that the power that Jesus has to heal what alienates and to restore people to wholeness. And so, not surprisingly, because of this, the crowds are flocking to Jesus. They want him to heal many other people. In today's gospel, we hear before dawn, while it's still dark, Jesus goes off alone to a deserted place. And he is praying. And while Jesus is there alone, Peter is searching for him. And we hear urgency. Peter is in full action mode. There are crowds to be healed. We have to find Jesus. Our English translation actually does not give the sense of urgency that the Greek does. In Greek, Peter and the others are astonished that Jesus could be alone praying when there are so many people who need him. There's work to be done. And the Greek implies that they look for Jesus to restore him to his senses. Get him back to what he's supposed to do. And so Peter is questioning Jesus' choice. He assumes Jesus should be about the business of responding to these crowds who need healing. But Jesus is clear that healing is only one part of his ministry. Healing in this place is only one part of his ministry. He has come to preach and to teach from place to place. He is not going to be confined to just one location. And so Jesus tells the disciples that they are moving on to the next place, even though there are crowds there hoping to be healed. Throughout the Gospels, we see how Jesus balances time. Time for healing and teaching with time for solitude and prayer. How Jesus balances times with crowds, time with his disciples, and time by himself alone. Jesus is very intentional in focusing his attention. He doesn't simply react to all the demands that come to him. He keeps his focus, does not let himself be distracted by everything that's competing for his attention. Because of this, I think Jesus offers us an example of how we are called to live in an age when busy lives are a mark of being successful. In a time when there are so many competing for our attention, Jesus reminds us to be intentional and to seek balance between work and rest, between activity and times of solitude and quiet. Jesus reminds us to heed the Ten Commandments by setting aside 24 hours each week for Sabbath time, time for prayer, for rest, for solitude, for activities that feed and nurture us and our relationship with God. Given that our attention is limited, that so many are trying to capture our attention, it's important that we periodically take time to step back, to examine our lives, to take stock of how we spend our time, what activities we engage in, to notice to whom we give our attention and how we spend our time. And I wonder if the coming days are an especially appropriate time for this kind of stock-taking. Lent begins on Ash Wednesday, February 14th, and between now and Ash Wednesday would be a good time to reflect on our lives, on how we spend our time, how we focus our attention. This reflection, examination, prayer can help us discern our Lenten disciplines, those practices we will engage in Lent, those things we will do, and those things we will not do in that time. It can be a time to intentionally discern how we are called to restore our relationship, to strengthen our relationship with God, with our neighbor, with ourselves, and with creation. What is clear is that Jesus wants to be the focus of us and our lives, and Jesus is calling us to shift our full attention to Him. And thankfully, He gives us the power we need to do this. He gives us the power we need to let go of distractions, to intentionally follow Him. And we see that in the first part of our gospel today. The passage shows how Jesus desires to set us free from whatever draws us away from the love of God that gets in the way of the abundant life God desires for each of us. It's the account of Jesus healing Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And when Jesus does that, He lifts her up by the hand and does so much more than simply restore her to health. By healing her, Jesus is showing He has power over the forces of this world, including the forces that have the ability to alienate us. He is showing He has power to set humanity free from whatever lays hold to us, from whatever gets in the way of our life with God. Jesus lifts us above these forces that sap our attention, that distract us, that prevent us from following Him. Mark tells us that once the fever leaves Simon Peter's mother-in-law, she begins serving those in the house. Now, this may sound like a familiar story. The unnamed woman is healed and gets to work in the kitchen to feed the men. But actually, Mark is telling us something more profound than that. And it's not so obvious in the English, but it is much more obvious in the Greek, where that word serve is actually diakonia. You may recognize that, especially you. It is where we get our word deacon. The word is used in Mark's gospel only 3 times, and they all refer to servanthood and discipleship. Diakonia appears in today's passage. It also appears in chapter 10 when Jesus says about Himself, He has come to serve, not to be served. And also at the end of the gospel in chapter 15 when the women from Galilee are mentioned as those who follow and serve Jesus, who come with Him to Jerusalem, who remain with Him when He is crucified and buried, who are with Him after the male disciples have fled. So Mark begins and ends his gospel with faithful women who serve, who embrace the servanthood of Jesus, who live as true disciples. In Mark's gospel, no man is ever referred to as a faithful disciple with diakonia. Only these women are. And that is striking because in a society where women were not valued, where they had no power, Mark is saying these are the faithful followers, these are the faithful disciples of Jesus. These women are the true disciples. And so that service of Simon Peter's mother-in-law is not just about serving them dinner, but it's about living the life to which she is called, to being a servant in the church that is gathered around her in her home. It's reminiscent of the early church where there are no buildings like this. The church met in people's homes, gathered in intimate spaces. Sounds an awful lot like our gospel today. I think Mark is telling us that the mission of the church is to open our hearts and to welcome those who seek liberation from whatever alienates and oppresses. We are called to be a community that offers the restoring, healing love of God to all people, to be people who humbly serve others, feeding them, extending hospitality and welcome, being people who work at healing and reconciliation, who live God's love each moment of our lives. And Jesus promises to come to us and set us free from whatever prevents us from following him, to liberate us from all those things clamoring for our attention. Jesus gives us the power to say yes to discipleship, to diakonia. Jesus sets us free to follow him as disciples by living lives of prayer and loving service, seeking not our will, but God's will for us. As followers of Jesus, let us strive for balance, to find that gentle rhythm of action and quiet. May we set aside times where we retreat into solitude and quiet, encountering God's presence, listening, discerning God's call to us. Renewed and strengthened by those times of prayer and quiet, then let us move out to times of action, where we faithfully follow Jesus as in his call to be faithful servants, to diakonia, to loving all people, especially those without the voice to command the attention of others. May our attention always be focused on Jesus, on his way of love, that we welcome all and that we serve all in his name. May we always be a community liberated by Jesus to be his disciples and to live in the liberty of his abundant life. Amen.